Amen.
Amen. Abi, abi, don't sing like her. Don't be far. Amen. That was so powerful. That was so powerful. Anointing is, anointing didn't write me, but anointing is going to keep on increasing. Yeah, it's going to keep on increasing. There's something on you. Okay? There's something on you. You need to walk like there's something on you, one thing that can mess it up is boys. You have to be very careful with boys, because boys can try to take the place of God in your hearts. But hello, sirs. Are you with us? So what is on you is small now. And the reason why it's small is not because you're young. It's small because things of God usually start small. So, when you are singing, I was reminded of how Abike, how your auntie Abike used to sing when the GCC started. Just took me back. Just like, wow, this is how she used to sing. This is how it started, And I'm so happy for you and what God is going to use you to do. Amen. Amen. Are we good? Are we happy to be in church today? All right, let's greet ourselves. Let's rise up. Let's greet ourselves. Amen. Amen. Are you please? Let me drop it on that brown, on the brown desk. Praise God. Praise God. I'm happy to see everyone. Pastor Laolu is on a special assignment on behalf of the church, so he can't be with us today. But again, like I keep telling you guys, he's with us all the time. I'm sure he's probably online and listening. So yeah, I'm so happy. I'm happy to see you. Happy to see you. It's been a while, have you? I'm thinking now. It's been a while now. Since where is your sister? Did she come? Okay, she didn't come. I'm happy to see everyone today. Do you have anyone come here for the first time? Okay, no one. Or maybe some are coming, but we'll introduce them later. Ah, yeah. Some people are in the spirit. I was about to tell them to bring you here so that I can see you. Please, if you're under 14 years of age, can you please come to the first two rows? If you're under 14 years of age, raise your hand. Under 14, meaning 13 and below. All right. Can you please come and occupy these two front rows? Let me... It's a special seat. also, there's an empty seat at the front of it. Please fill it up. Amen. Amen. Oh, where is stay? I'm with you. I'm with you. You are our work, and we are going to finish work for you people. Amen. Amen. I did you once, and we gathered small children, like army, you know, like rose, and I give them sweets. Yeah. I give them sweets. Then I woke up, and I was like, ah, yeah, you know. It's like God is talking. That's start focusing on you people. Amen. Amen. By the way, has anybody been prophesied to recently by anybody outside of here? Like somebody stopped on the road, gave you prophecy. Anyone recently? You? Anyone? I'm sure anyone. I want to do something. Anybody? Nobody. Okay. I'll still investigate it because I had a dream this morning, and what I saw is either in the past or in the future. Praise God. Are we good? Let's say a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for this gathering of souls. Thank you for bringing us together to come and experience your goodness, to come and experience your joy. Father, as we go into the world, I ask that you shall minister to every one of us individually. I ask, God, that you shall bring us to a place of intimacy with you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We take away all distractions from this place now. And we say that we are focused to learn at your feet and to be blessed by you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Can I have water, please? I think my truth is. Amen. Amen. How are we doing? Are we good? How many? 8, 9, 7, 6, 11, 13, 12, 10, are we? 10, 13, okay. You can't wait to graduate, are we? The way you know, you can't wait to graduate. There's something funny that happens is that the way you want to be old, when you become old, you want to be young. I understand, don't worry. You know, I remember one day after frustration had killed me, I was not able to enter university. I think like the third time I raised it up or something, I can never forget that day. I was in the car. I just saw a young girl playing on the road. I was like, wow. I can just be like this girl. Just playing, no worry, nothing. Who cares of this world, just enjoying ourselves, eating ice cream. And by that time, frustration had entered me. Amen. And, you know, I think that's a good place to start, you know. Hello, John. You want to sit with someone, I think you should. Let's sit there. Is anybody there? No, just pass it. Quickly. Amen. So, thank you. So, I was. Can you open it? So, I was. What did I say? Yeah. And. You know, even from that, you understand. Even from that young age, you know, help me open it. Thank you. going to stop calling you that name. Do you like that name? That they always call you. Stop calling him. Have you heard? Have you heard it? I'm not joking. I'm not joking. Amen. God does not like it when you joke and make fun of other people. He does not like it. He detests it. It's evil. See, if you don't have anything good to say about anybody, you shut up. Okay? And if any Christian says, I think I've told you guys this thing before now. At the moment any Christian says, I don't like that joke, you stop it. And you say, I'm sorry. Anybody, not even Christian, anybody, you stop it. Amen. There's no point making fun of somebody. This guy can pay your school fees in 5 years' time. You don't know. He can employ you. Yes. So, I'll say that, you know, in life, I was talking about how I remember how I was so frustrated at that young age because, like, wow, this life is so frustrating, you know. And in Nigeria today, you might not be experiencing suffering, at the level you're not suffering, that you're in this church, you're not that bad. No matter how bad you think it is, it's not that it can be worse. That's your life. But it doesn't matter because there is so much negative speaking about the country now. Some of you that have nothing to do with dollars, you know that dollars is reaching 850. You know, even though you have never touched dollars in your life. You know dollar, you know everything. You know that there's flooding, the economy is bad, food is bad. And yes, it is true. And there's lots of negative speaking about the country. And the main danger of all that negative speaking is that it will make you pessimistic about your own life. There's something that is like, it's not... Yeah, I agree with you, Abby. Yeah. You see? I agree with you. So, who is in charge now? You're trying to solve it. You don't know the problem, okay? Just keep on trying. So, there's lots of negative speaking about the country. And the major damage, this is not really my message, but I want to start with this. I plan on starting with this. That all that negative talk can make you leave your destiny. It can make you become pessimistic. And when you are pessimistic, you can't be blessed by God. Hallelujah. What did I say? When you are negative, you can't be blessed by God. Are we together? And so, the economy is bad. Many things are going on bad in Nigeria. And guess what? It will get worse. It will get better. Are we together? Most of the food that we're meant to eat next year is currently in the Atlantic Ocean. Water has sent it. Amen. Is this better? It's not better. Okay. Most of the food, or a lot, not the most, not most, I don't know, but a lot of the food that we're meant to eat next year is underwater now. You guys know, Abby? Do you guys know? Oh, you don't know? Better know. Better know. All right? Because of the flooding that has happened. And so food prices that are high should go higher still next year, starting from this December. Okay? And so you're not in a situation where... Amen. That's why you need to pray for your parents. It's not easy. Amen. It's not easy.
thank them. Even if the food had reduced, you say thank you because it's not easy right now. So, but that should not allow you become pessimistic. I'm saying this small, small, so that everybody is hearing me and everybody understands me. All right? Now let's go to Genesis. Let's read the story of... Are these ones working? The projectors, are they working today? What happened? Don't say something. Okay. Genesis 26. Let me tell you the story of a Christian, right? Or the way God expects a Christian to live. So Genesis 26, from verse 1. If you're there, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're not there. Don't shout hallelujah. I'm talking to him. Do you have a Bible? Eh? You're not there. They don't shout hallelujah. Genesis 26. Kingsley, please shift. Let somebody come and share. Shift. So come here. Come and share with them. Do you have a Bible? That's a Bible. Can you share with someone else? All right. So if you're there, shout hallelujah. Everybody's looking at their Bibles, Abby. Okay. 26 verse 1. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Right? So there was a famine in the land. And the Lord told Isaac to dwell in the land that there was famine. Verse 3, dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all this land. I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. Now let's go to 12, verse 12. And Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Amen. Amen. So, this is the life of a Christian. That's... It doesn't matter whether you are in a place of famine or not. By the instruction of God, you can be blessed. Are we together? That's why you need to be careful of what you listen to. Okay? Don't join them to shout about the country. Don't join them. Just withdraw. I know if you say, don't worry, it will be well in Nigeria, people laugh at you. When I say, people laugh at me, but... So you might not be able to handle it. So just withdraw. And be confident that... See, let me tell you something. These warriors have been very good to me. I can't lie. Are you together with me? Right? Many people have grown, prospered, gotten richer. All right? So, there is provision of God's blessing on your life. And you should just know and we'll look at it, that what God has started, Nigeria will not kill it. I think we have said amen. Nigeria will not kill you. Nigeria will not make you poor.
Amen.
People are not poor because they're in Nigeria. They're poor because they don't have the wisdom of God. Are we together? Are we together? So don't blame anybody, oh. Don't blame Buhari. Don't blame your local government chairman. Don't blame your parents. Focus on God, and God will bless you and lift you up. Okay? So I said I'll start with that, so just encourage us. Now, what we are going to be looking at today is purpose. If I may shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Good. We're going to be looking at purpose, finding purpose or understanding purpose. Amen. And the first thing that we would look at this for a while, please let me know when it is, when am I meant to stop teaching? 2:50, are we? So when it is, 30 minutes before that is 2:20. Are we? So when it's 2:20, just let me know. So that I would stop it and we can pray. because it's more about prayer. This kind of thing is more about prayer. Amen. So, we're going to be looking at purpose today and how we can find our purpose, how we can understand our purpose. I don't want to say it, but let me say it, that there's a saying of men that if the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. Abi? If I give you, how many of you have a spoon that converted to football or something? You know, maybe you've converted cup to bowler to have your bat. Right? It's because you didn't know the purpose of the cup. Amen. And so, for your lives to have meaning and goodness and beauty, you need to have an understanding of purpose. This is a very, very powerful element of humanity. Because it is the only thing that makes your life have sense. As a man, you are sort of under a kind of mini wahala. You are living for things that don't count, or you are in a place that doesn't count. Amen. So, for instance, Jesus would say, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Yeah, meaning that a man can work hard for things, right? Gain the whole world, right? Not just that he loses his soul. Is that what he gained is not equal to what is already with him. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's like you walk. You know, it's like looking for your key all around your house, but it's inside your pocket. Right? How many of that thing happened to before? Right? Yeah. So that's how man is perpetually living. He gets. He will spend energy, do everything, but at the end of the day, he will realize that he was foolish. And there's nothing he can do about it. Amen. Right. So, because we are living in this place, is a major issue in life. Major issue in life. Like I said, you don't know now, because right now everybody's eye is red. You know, so you are looking for a break. You are looking for money, right? But eventually, when you have money, you discover that the money is not necessarily improving the quality of your life. Some of the most confused people in my office are rich people. Amen. Amen. Are we together? I've met people that don't know their left from their right. Are we together? And they're very rich people, powerful people, and intelligent people. Again, right? Because the knowledge to handle your life is not head knowledge. It's God's wisdom. Amen. Anyway, let me not go into that one. But understanding purpose is very huge, and that's why there's also a huge industry around it. You know, seminars, books, movies, all sorts of things. People selling you snake oil. What I mean by snake oil is fake products, things that, you know, this kind of, all this herbal mixture they always announce in the market that can cure everything. You know, people are always buying it. But it doesn't cure anything, you know. People think that agbo came from heaven. Like, this one, just take agbo. There's nothing in life. And agbo cannot. Agbo cannot cure, right? So, there is an industry for you. It's ready prepared, ready made for you. By the time you reach 35 and your life is not working well, one career coach will visit you, right? And he will tell you that the problem of your life is that you're not taking enough deep breaths. I'm serious. He will tell you that the way to cure stress is to be taking deep breaths. You know? And even you said that you might be a Christian, but you believe it. Yes, you believe it because you don't know that much. So, you are consistently in a desire to understand who you are. Why are you here? Amen. Amen. And there's a way to understand it. Now, for us to understand it, we first need to understand why, what did I say? 220, Abby? Come on. Like, we'll push that in. All right. So, you first need to understand why or you just need to understand your type of creation. Let's go to Genesis 1. Let's look at when God created man. We'll just read some scriptures. Genesis 1, 26. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, let us make man are we there? Can I go on? Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Amen. Amen. So, I want us to note something important here. I'll come back to it, but I feel I should say it now. That men are created in the image and in the likeness of God. And we are given dominion over everything. Right? Now, before we say that, the dominion or the capacity to have dominion is the nature of man. Are we together? So, men naturally should have dominion. Okay? This is the nature. This is not the reason why men were created. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like you take a tablet of medicine, right? Now, if you take this tablet of medicine, the effect it's going to have on your body is that you have a runny stomach or you feel like sleeping. Are we together? That's the characteristic or the nature of the tablet, but that's not why you are taking it. Are we together? So you are taking it for a different reason, to cure the sickness, right? And so in that same way, the dominion that man has is removed from the purpose of man. Meaning that God created man and gave him dominion as a characteristic. This is the reason why this dominion is not a Christian thing. Are we together? Man naturally is meant to have dominion. That's why if you're not ambitious, you're malfunctioning. You don't have any ambition. Right? Even the Christian NFA is an ambition. You get what I'm saying, right? It's just not NFA like the word. Any man that is just waking up in the morning, smoking, just eating food, it's not, no plan, is malfunctioning. Are we together? So you should have an ambition. You should have a drive, a desire. However, this is not why you were created. Amen. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? So your purpose is not fundamentally what you are doing as per the businesses you have acquired, as per the cars that you have, as per the successes that you have. It is at a deeper level of relationship with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or you don't understand what I'm saying, but just take it from me now. We'll look at it, right? That there is something in the mind of God beyond what man can do, but who he is. Let's go to Psalm. Well, let's just go to Hebrews 2. So the reason why I'm saying this is that because the very problem with the purpose conversation is that it's not started well. It started as what I'm going to achieve. Hallelujah. And this is a problem because you can manufacture an ambition. Now, if you say now that your purpose is to be rich, this is my purpose. No, this is not what I can be rich, I can do anything, but this is my purpose. Then, how about Dangote? Is Dangote achieving his purpose? Do you get what I'm saying? Right? If you say my purpose is to be the best musician in the world, how about Burna Boy? Is he achieving his purpose? You get what I'm saying? Right? And so, because people are looking for what they want, what they can achieve on the earth, you are hindering yourself because you will now then think that because you are low here in you know, all these future awards, maybe all these 30 under 30, when you see the list and your name is not there, you start feeling bad that I'm not achieving anything in life, you know. How many of you understand? You're not old enough to. Don't worry, you'll get there. You'll get there. Maybe like 2 more years, you get there. But you understand what I'm saying? Right? Especially in these days that you have 18 years of becoming a millionaire, maybe you do one tech team, you know. Then you are now. I just came back yesterday from playing ball. Is this how my life is wasting? Hebrews 2, from verse 5. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or what is the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than... You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, before we go to where we need to go to, this scripture speaks to the nature of man in the sense of the impossibility of man. Are you guys following me? Are you guys following me? Now, you know, man is created in the image and in the likeness of God. But that image and in the likeness of God was put in flesh. Now, that is a major downgrade in the sense that, physically speaking, you know, you're an animal, physically speaking. You know? No, you're physically, like your physical body. If you want to learn how to do surgery, they will do surgery in goats. They will do surgery in man because the inside is the same. You get what I'm saying now? Like, at times, some surgery, some eye surgery, they will replace it with goat eye. Yeah, now. Yes, now. Like some people's eye, they would, like, the eye is bad. They replace it with goat eye. Maybe you don't have seen black and white, but you should have seen something, sure. You get it, right? So, physically speaking, the man, that's why scientists is plant and animal. Man too is animal, right? So, physically speaking, you put the image and likeness of God, which is the spirit, you put it in dust. Because the flesh was created from dust. So you have a contradiction there. You have greatness in weakness. And so when the angels look at men, they are amazed because they're like, what is this guy? As in, he is nothing. You know, an angel can come here now and kill everybody here. And we will even know that an angel killed everybody here. We will think that everybody is just suffocating and sleeping. You know what I'm saying, right? Now, compared to the angel is a class of being, right? You are like a downgrade, right? But then God is looking at men. He says that what is man that thou art mindful of him? Meaning that there is a kind of space that men have in God's mind that angels don't have. Are we together? You guys with me? We're still going to purpose though, so stay with me. Right? So there is a kind of space that angels have in God's mind, meaning that God has a kind of attention to men that is not normal. Praise God. So, the class of being that is the lowest is the class of being that God will come and say, friend. You know, God called Abraham his friend. Right? Now, God has never called any angel his friend. Are we together? I guess you mean? Right? So, the angels look at this and are like, wow, this is something weird is happening here. And by the way, let me just say that. Let me stick. So, we understand that man has a certain place. You know, when God looks at man, it's like, and this is why, let me say it, because it's important. The angels that are better, they get their purpose from serving men. Hallelujah, because that's how God thinks. The way God thinks is that the greater should serve the weaker, right? So, you know you have angel. I hope you know. Okay, better know. So you have angel, right? There's one angel that is knocking your head to make sure that you don't enter the wrong boss, everything, right? Now, if you enter the wrong boss, it doesn't mean your angel did not work. I'm just saying, right? But angels are with you. They are taking care of you. Let's look at it quickly. Because it's an important point to make. Psalm 91. If you're blessed, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ah, you're not that blessed though. Let me upgrade my teaching. Psalm 91. Now, remember, we are still on the topic of, I think I need to make this point because I want to make a point about greatness serving weaker people, especially as it pertains to women. Psalm 91, verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, the Most High your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. So God's angels are protecting you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are serving you. They are helping you achieve your destiny. Right? So in the mind of God, the more powerful being is serving the weaker being, right? So God didn't create angels to be flexing their muscle by themselves. God created them to serve the other class of being, right? That is weaker, but has the chance of intimacy with the Lord. But what I'm trying to say is that this is why, for instance, you know, how many of you have read your Bible and you've read that place where they say women are weaker, women are the weaker vessel, and you feel the feminist in you just rises up and wants to start shouting, you know. You've read that place, right? Okay. Right? How many of you know the scripture I'm talking about? I should give honor to women as a weaker vessel and stuff like that. Now, the point is that the way God thinks is that, now that weaker is not really, it's so simple. It's really so simple. Is that women are weaker physically. That's all. That's all. Don't stress yourself, you know. Yet. If you slap a woman, she can die. If a man slaps a woman, she can die, yeah. So, women are more fragile. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Do you understand? Do you understand? That's all it's saying. It's not saying anything deeper than that. You get what I'm saying, right? So, because women are more fragile, you should give them honor. You should. Because you are the man, you are macho. Hallelujah. Right? You should open the door for them. Amen. And if you see your mother carrying plenty of things to help her, don't say she's a strong woman. Yeah, right? You help them. Are we together?
Yes,
are we together, right? Because the way God thinks is that the greater should serve the lesser. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So, we are still on, that was just a quick detour, but we are still on the way God sees men. So God is very mindful of men. Men have a special place in God's mind. God is constantly thinking of men. You know, have you ever thought about it, that the whole of the universe is concentrated on the earth? You know, this earth is where everything is happening. Hallelujah. But this earth is not the only place in the universe. The universe is far greater than the earth, or far larger than the earth. But the earth is where everything is happening. You know, that's where all activity is happening. That's where the focus of God is on. Hallelujah. All right? So, because God has his, or rather, men have a special place in God's mind. Men are a special kind of God's creation. Are we together? So, now let's go to Isaiah 66 to tie this off. I like this. This is like real Bible study. And you need to be trained like this so that by the time you get to school, you will not be crazy. Amen. Amen. So you're not turned to a crazy man. Crazy people everywhere in this Christianity. You know, you're not the Yagra. Like crazy people. Some people are mad. Some Christians are mad. I'm not joking. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, madness is in, there are two types of madness. There is psychosis and then neurosis. Psychosis is obviously mad. You know, the guy that's under the bridge, his hair is, what are you, takes the abalas, you know. Neurosis is the madness that is wearing suit and tie. Amen. Right? And the number of mad people wearing suit and tie, dressing well, are more than the people on that bridge. You know? Mad people everywhere. Amen.
Amen.
I was on Twitter one time like that. Someone was saying that the Holy Spirit gave her a massage. Now you're laughing, but it's not, you can say that kind of thing. It's not a joke. And we're going there. When you talk about what intimacy with God means, you know, it's usually women that do that kind of thing, because women tend to take God as their boyfriend, as like a lover, but it's not lover, because men too, God is my lover, but women, it's more intricate than that. It's like the boyfriend that they never had. Yeah, those are the projects themselves on God. Right. So, you need to preserve yours. I'm telling you, there's lots of madness in this Nigerian Christianity that we're doing. All right, so Isaiah 66. Thus says the Lord. Now, this is this is the powerful thing about God. Let me tell you something about God. God rarely ever reveals his mind immediately. That's why you need to wait. You need to wait on God, because God hardly ever reveals his mind immediately. Huh? So you need to wait. You need to be patient with God. When you're reading your Bible, don't rush to have revelation. You enter into error. You get. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Like, you see something, you just, wow, revelation. You will now see the next chapter. Something messing up the thing. You get. Because they're just running. Right? So God, through the prophet Isaiah, you know, he created man in Genesis. Then after many years in Isaiah, he's not trying to reveal something else. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? Let's stop there. Amen. Heaven is my throne. Are we? And the earth is my footstool. Now, a throne. You know, this is a serious message, but you know, a throne is an office. Amen.
Amen.
That's why you need to be noble in this life. Don't embarrass yourself. You know these people that will put big chair in their house and be eating food. You know. You're embarrassing yourself. You don't know what a throne is. A throne is not where you eat food. Amen. Amen. You don't eat food on gold chair. That's madness. You are running mad. The man is running. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? You might not understand what I'm saying, but I know what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. When you want to eat food, if your dining table is too extravagant, there's something wrong with your head. Amen. If you want to prove that this is where you showcase your wealth, you now put gold, you know. You now put, I was in one guy's house, one of the rich people, he puts TV under the kitchen floor. You'll be stepping on it. You know, to showcase that he's stepping on wealth. You know, that's madness. The mind is malfunctioning. It's not working well. It's like glitching. You know when your laptop is glitching or crashing. Right? So, the throne is, can we please sit down? I've seen some movement around. The throne is the office. Hallelujah. Why? The throne is the seat of judgment. You know, God's major work is judging. He's judging the world. He's judging angels, Satan. He's ordering things. As God has an office. And the earth is his footstool. You're welcome. The earth is his footstool. Amen. Now, but he doesn't have a house. Hallelujah. Amen. God does not have a house. Praise God. You know, heaven is not God's house because he has said what heaven is. It is his throne. It's his office. Are we together? So he doesn't have a place where he can relax and watch premiership after a hard week of work. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
I'm serious with what I'm saying. What I'm saying, I'm not missing words. Now, you know your house is where you rest. That's why if you're fighting too much in your house, your life is not in order. Because, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That's why you should reconcile with your parents. Don't fight in your house. You don't know what you are doing. You don't know what you are doing. You get it, right? Because you see, in the world, there's enough stress. In the world. Amen. Amen. There's transportation stress. Even if you have money, sometimes there's no Uber. Right? Or even if there's Uber, the Uber is the surge. Right? And then trip that used to be 2.5 is now 5K. Right? So in the world, there's lots of stress. Right? There's stress from everywhere. The world is a battlefield. The world is a battlefield. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are we together?
Yes,
the world is a battlefield. And so when people go to their houses, they want to rest. You need a place of rest. And you know, that's something that I'm finding important myself, the importance of rest. But that's for me, right? But God does not have a house. God does not have a dwelling place. Are we together? So what did God do about this problem? Verse 2. For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is of a poor and contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. So God now uses a unique kind of language here, where he says, I don't have a house. But the solution is to look at somebody. Amen. Amen. Are we together? Meaning that the solution, who is he looking at? Men, Abi? Meaning that the solution to this problem that God has of not having a house is men. Are we together? You know, you didn't say this one in Genesis. Abi? You didn't say this one in Genesis. In Genesis, I was talking about dominion. Doing powerful stuff. He In Isaiah, he's now saying that actually, these men that I created, my desire was to use them as house. Praise God. Are we together? So why was man created? To house God. Amen? Now you can see why he's mindful. It makes sense, Abby. Because, I mean, if you're building property, you go there every day to inspect your sites to be sure that everything is proper. Are we together? So you see why men occupy his mind, why he sent his own son to die. Amen. Amen. Are we together?
Yes,
because that's his house, that's his retirement plan, that's his pension plan. Are we together?
Yes,
so he has, through his own counsel, decided that men are going to be the resting place. This is where I will find pleasure. And when we say dwell in men, this thing is very literal. I mean it. I don't want to go there, but I think I was talking about it before, where Jesus Christ said, I and my Father will come and dwell in you. This is real. It's not it's different from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when you get born again, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, but Jesus is not necessarily on the inside of you. Right? Now, as one begins to become intimate with the Lord, obeying God and his commandment, Jesus Christ, which is God, will then come and dwell in you. Right? So you are then going to have, you are then going to house the Holy Spirit, also going to house God and Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. But that's not what we're looking at today. But essentially, the reason, remember, we're talking about purpose, right? The reason why men were created, the Creator's intention is to dwell in them. Are we together? So, fundamentally, your purpose is not what you can give yourself. You can't tell yourself have a purpose. Amen.
Amen.
But you know you can do it, but it's fake. You can, you know, now, like, you know what I'm saying now? It's like the way you can, you see, the way you can manufacture love, you can manufacture purpose. You know, maybe all these people didn't arrange marriages. You understand what I'm saying now? Arrange marriage now. You just wake up one morning and say, this is your husband. You start saying, this is my husband. And he becomes, you start loving him. You know, you can't do that, right? The same way you can deceive yourself and give yourself purpose. Hallelujah. But fundamentally, it is not about what you are doing. Foundationally, your purpose is who you are. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have me, shout hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, are you the house of God? That's the first question. Do you understand? Listen, it's only one day that I shout. You know. Are you the house of God?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's not the thing, but you get. But I'm trying to say that the first question is, are you the house of God? Is God dwelling in you? If God is dwelling in you, then you are achieving purpose. Praise God. Are you guys with me? Why is this important? This is important because, you remember what I said? I said that if this thing is not there, now, this thing would flow, Rachel, this thing would flow and become something specific on this earth. But if it doesn't flow from here, you will create your own. Amen. You know, everybody is fantastic on LinkedIn. Amen. Amen. How are you on LinkedIn? Okay, you know everybody's fantastic on LinkedIn. Everybody is thrilled and pleased and excited to be starting this new role, you know. You know everybody is fine on Instagram. And everybody is always right. On. Have you ever seen anybody on Twitter say, I am wrong? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? People will die before they say they are wrong. It can be obvious that you are wrong. You say, no, I'm not wrong. You are being misogynistic. I'm not wrong. You know what I'm saying? All right. Now, if this thing is not there, you will create your own image of yourself. You will want to be what you are not. Hallelujah. Which is impossible, but you will try. Amen. Now, let's go to Isaiah 29. Now, please, I want you guys to follow me here because we're going to end this off in prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to get into a more intimate space with the Lord. That's the purpose of the prayer. So I want you to please follow me. Just follow me. Amen. I'm having so much fun. I can't lie to you. I'm having so much fun. I feel so peaceful. You know, so you can do ministry like this. Wow. I feel so peaceful. You know, I'm not shouting. I'm not, you know, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. You know, yeah, I'm seeing people that are not listening to me, but I'm still happy. You know what I'm saying? Yet, I'm so happy. You know, I was last night, I learned that you should never be worried about the way people respond to God. It's not, even Jesus Christ did not have 100%. Jesus Christ had Judas. Jesus Christ had Thomas. You know, they're different levels. Judas is betrayer. Thomas is unbelief. Meaning that when they were preaching, he was not hearing. Some seed will fall by the wayside. So me, I'm at peace. I'm just saying my own. I'm just saying my own. Who will listen, will listen. It's not about shouting. I'm just happy. Amen. Amen. So, so you are created for, before we read that Isaiah, so you are created for intimacy. And that's why the state of your heart is so important. You know, everything is happening from your heart. We'll read that out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. But everything is happening from your heart. Your heart is very important. Very, very important to God. Amen. And the major challenge people have is that their heart is not in what they are doing. That's the major challenge that we have as Christians. In this Isaiah that we read, let's read it. I wish you could read Amplified, because Amplified makes it clearer. But because there's no Amplified, and I don't want people to be confused, I'll just read the first part. Isaiah 29. Because, you know, we said that God wants to dwell in you. So what is happening on the inside of you is very important. Very, very important. Yeah. So, Isaiah 29:13. Therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. Praise God. Now, when the next verse, I wish you could read it in Amplified when you get home, because you're reading KJV and KJV, it can seem like a confusing statement. But that next statement after that, they are far from me, is that they will create tradition. And you lose the essence of my word. Right? So when the heart is far, it enters into religious mode. That's religion. Religion is not Catholic Church. Praise God. Praise God. Please, don't harass Catholic people. There are Catholic people that are better Christians than Pentecostal people. You get it? Religion is not Catholic Church. In fact, that Catholic Church thing, the challenge is just that it's Latin. So it's not natural. But if you go to the room where they are singing the thing, you can follow under the anointing. No, those their songs now. Ad hominem. Yeah, I can't sing it, but you get what I'm saying, right? If you go to Vatican Concord where they are singing it, wow. You say you'll be like, wow, this is spiritual. You get? Because that's Italian culture. Yeah, right. So the what was I saying before I said that? Yeah. So when the heart is not there, then you enter into tradition. You're not doing something because you feel you should do it. And let me tell you the truth, some of the most religious people right now on this earth are Pentecostal Christians. I tell you the truth. Praise God. In fact, even the speaking in tongues is religious. Amen. Amen. How many of you speak in tongues but your mind is in food? That's what I'm saying. You are not praying. And the speaking in tongues can be powerful. But if you check the mind, he's not thinking about God at all. His mind is not there. Amen. I know what I'm saying. Because you can, even speaking, you can, it's the spirit. It's the spirit, you know. I mean, the spirit. She be used to speak in tongues for 1 hour now. Move just did here. Be pressing phone. Right? So, the heart needs to be there and present. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Remember, I was still talking about purpose, right? So, how does one become this housing place of God, right? Is that the heart needs to be there. Amen. Some of us have forgotten how to pray in our understanding. You can't pray prayer. You know, I'll say, let's thank God now you speak in tongues. You know, let's thank the Lord. I think you're laughing. You did it, have you? Let us thank God. We start speaking in tongues. Thank God. What? Thank God. You know, some of us feel it is a downgrade to say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Biro. You're quiet because it's true, are we? You feel it's a lower prayer, right? Well, no. It's about the heart. God has never rejected any man's gratitude. Amen. Because God's mind is in the minute detail. God appreciates little things. Amen. Right? So God has never seen somebody thanking God for breathing in and out and said, this is a small thing. Are we together? So, the heart, and this is one of the main things, right? To be intimate with the Lord, because it is going to help you be a dwelling place. It is then going to help things flow out of you. But to be saying things is not enough. To be doing things is not enough. The heart needs to be there. And it's something you can practice. That's why I want us to pray. It's something you can practice. You can practice praying and being there. Knowing every word you are saying. Hallelujah. Are we together? I'm happy to see you. You can practice being there, being the heart, being there. The heart needs to be there. The heart needs to be there. That's why the major battle. Are you sleeping? Is that why you're standing there? Because you sleep, okay. That's why the major battle is distraction. Reading your Bible, a prayer, also human beings, people are just distracting you all the time. Right? But the heart needs to be there. Amen. Let's go to John 7. God is helping us. The heart being there is what makes the religion is what makes the pursuit of God fruitful. Everybody that is not getting it, most likely this is where they are missing it. They've not put all their heart into it. Amen. And this is important because it is not there. What do we chase? Our experiences. When I was talking about mad people, why we chase experiences, mad Christians, creates mad Christians is Holy Spirit experience. Wanting is a Christian version of cocaine, is wanting the next high. Then it keeps getting extreme. You want the next high. Sudden. The Spirit is giving you a massage. You keep wanting something new. Something new. You're never satisfied. You keep wanting to talk to a great man of God. You're looking for, because the heart is not there. You've become unstable. Praise God. So, in John 7, 38, very clear. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Amen. Amen. Now just go to Job. Go to Job 8. Now, out of the belly will flow rivers of living water. Now, what is this rivers of living water? I'll explain it technically, but I'll explain it just practically after that. Now, technically, this is the thing that makes you alive, right? This is from God himself, in the sense that, God wants to dwell. Remember, we're talking about purpose, Abby? So, God wants to dwell in you, right? Now, part of the effect of God dwelling in you is that you will be experiencing this thing called the flowing of rivers. It's a kind of renewal or refreshment, right? Now, this is coming directly from God himself. Hallelujah, right? Now, it manifests in very simple terms. It manifests as the feeling of peace that you feel when you are in the presence of God. Amen. Are we together? That's the practical feeling of it. It's not an arbitrary thing. It's a feeling that you feel physically. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? You know that feeling of goodness you have when you've interacted with God in a particular, maybe you've read your Bible, you've prayed, you just feel okay. You get that? Do you understand what I'm saying, right? Now, that thing is the flowing of rivers of living water. That thing is not subject to any human interference. As a matter of fact, it is like a supernatural thing. It's not normal. It's really not normal. It can. There's no fight that can exist where there's prayer between two people. What I mean is that you people are fighting. Like, serious fight. You just finished punching yourself, right? Serious fight. And I come and say, let us pray. Amen. See, there is no genuine prayer that will not take away the feeling of anger. You know what I'm saying? Right? Nothing. Yeah, it will take it away. Now, after you leave there, you can go back. But in that place, that thing can't flow. You get what I'm saying? Right? So it is a very supernatural force that imposes itself. And that's actually a major sign. It's a major sign that God is in you. And you have to preserve it. right? Because you can lose it. Amen. You can lose it. I'll go and pursue revelation. Amen. 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 I hope I know what I'm saying. I know this thing I'm saying. I know it 100%. You can leave this thing and go and pursue revelation. Fake revelation, not revelation. Fake revelation. You start saying English, talking English, you know. The angels are coming, right? Doesn't matter what you do, even if, see. But that thing, you are meant to preserve that thing and guard it jealously, even though you are experiencing it small, small. Hallelujah. Because it won't always be small. Amen. It will increase. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? That feeling, that peace, that thing, it will increase if you are consistent. Now, in Job 8, I'll round off and pray now. In Job, I didn't even go there, sir. Remember, we are still talking about purpose. This is how to live life, okay? This is your purpose. It is just a very simple scriptural principle. Job 8, verse 7. Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly. Now, spiritually, remember I was talking, those who are here before I started preaching, I was talking about anointing. I said that, see, many things spiritually start small. And it is small not because of maturity, it's just the way it starts. So, anointings grow. They increase. But they start small. Right? And that feeling of the river, it starts small, but if you are consistent, it will grow and increase. Amen. Amen. So, from something that you feel 20 minutes a day, you will feel it 8 hours a day. Amen. Amen. You believe what I'm saying? Who believes what I'm saying? Let me see if I still need to. Do you believe what I'm saying? Do you believe what I'm saying? Do you believe what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you believe what I'm saying? Sorry. Sit down one now. Embarrassing my ministry. You man of God. All right. So that's. Thing, it grows. Hallelujah. You will feel it. That's why you need to pray. You need to pray for God to take you there. Amen. When God takes you there, the question of what am I doing with my life will stop. Amen. When God takes you there, you discover that intimacy with Him is enough. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying to you. You will discover that intimacy with God is enough. It is enough. It is enough. You don't need, in fact, we even want things to go so that you can become lightweight, you know, because things are too cumbersome. You won't like things that are too cumbersome, you know. Amen. It will even manifest in your life. Meaning that when you're moving from house to house, people will be shocked. Because, people when they're moving from house to house, it will be like, that's one of the most stressful days of your life because they have many things. You know, even yourself, you even want many property. You just want to be light. Amen. Amen. And so you need to understand that thing that is small, it can grow, and it will grow if you tend to it. Amen. Amen. That's how you flow in purpose. Now, as that thing begins to flow, you begin to have natural reactions to life that take you to your purpose. Amen. The route to becoming a missionary is the same route to becoming a businessman. It's not, missionary is not deeper. Amen. Don't think that for you to become a missionary, you need to see angel. You don't need to see angel. Amen. People moved from Europe to Africa through signposts. People even told them, they just said recruitment mission. You get what I'm saying? And they applied. Are we together? Right? Is that that thing, it begins to guide your life. You begin to know the friends you should keep, the friends you should not keep. I'm not talking about bad friends. I'm talking about good people. You just know the places you should be at, the places you should not be at, because you are always preserving that thing. That thing becomes your compass in life. Right? It becomes the thing that you don't want to lose. And because you don't want to lose it, it regulates you. Hallelujah. So you just know, this is what I should do. This is what I should not do. Amen. Outside of this thing, you're using hard work and brain to live your life. Amen. Do you understand? Do you want this thing? All right, let's pray. Remember what we said. Remember what we said. We said that your heart needs to be there. Abino, you said that your heart needs to be there. So you need to gather yourself. Some of you, as you begin to pray now, you will notice that your mind is very active. You need to stay there and gather it back. Huh? In prayer, the strength to gather your mind back. It's not wasted energy. The prayer is not wasting. Right? The prayer is, that's the prayer. Right? Or that's the pre-prayer. We'll talk about that at another time. But it requires energy to gather your mind. And as you gather your mind and you say, God, I want to be intimate with you, eventually you will notice some thoughts will filter into your mind. It could be what you should do. It could be what you should drop. It could be a new mindset you should have. But that is then the Holy Spirit's ministering to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Because this prayer is about the Holy Spirit ministering to you. It's not about my anointing, as it were. Right? It's about the Holy Spirit ministering to you. Right? So can we begin to pray? Let's pray and say, Father, I want to be intimate with you. Take me there. And make sure that your mind is involved in it. Can we begin to pray? Take us there, Lord. Take us there, Father.